Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
Bills Redskins pregame starting Sunday morning 9 a.m. here on ESPN Rochester as we continue to get you prepared for all of the action. We bring in one of our favorites. Weekly visit with Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Buffalo Bills. Marcel, how are you?
I'm good today, man. I'm in important emphasis on today. I was just looking at the weather report, man, and we got snow coming next week. And it just feels like, man, it's so soon.
Marcel, you won't get sympathy from this guy. I grew up in the upper Midwest, and I don't remember a Halloween where it didn't snow. So, you know, we have here is actually, I know it's not what you're used to. This is your first glimpse of it. But, you know, this is how it goes, man.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, I knew what I was getting myself into, right? I just got to I'm going to try to come to terms with it.
Marcel, before we get to all the Bills news of the day and looking ahead to the Redskins game, I learned something about you this week on social media. You are the only Sacramento Kings fan I know. This warms my heart. Marcel, I'm going to put you on the spot, my friend. Pop quiz. I'm going to test your fandom here. Where did the Sacramento Kings franchise originate, Marcel Louis-Jacques?
Right up there in Rochester, baby, the Royals.
That's correct. Yeah, see, I'm the guy that has I look terrible in it, the Rochester Royals throwback jersey. But every time they break that out, it's our little claim to fame here, Marcel.
Shoot, I mean, you know, Western New York had all kind of basketball teams at one point in time. You had the Royals there, the Clippers in Buffalo, or the Braves. Me in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
This was it was a sports hotbed. Any sports you want.
And then people looked at the forecast at the end of October and said, "You know what? Maybe relocation is a better move. Sacramento seems nice."
Yeah, shoot. I think they went. It was like Cincinnati before then.
Cincinnati to Kansas City and a little bit in Omaha and then Sacramento.
Yeah,
I mean, just a really nomadic franchise there.
Marcel, we do have the Bills, we do have the Sabres, but we want to talk about not just the game coming up here on Sunday. I wanted to start with the trade deadline. It comes, it goes, and then today, Sean McDermott making, you know, basically saying, hey, look, we didn't make a move. There's been too many years of irresponsible decisions. Is that a knock on the previous regime, or is that a knock on the current regime? Because last time I checked, pretty much every irresponsible decision from the previous regime is no longer with the team.
Yeah, I think it might have been. I'd like to think it's directed at the previous regime. There's been no suggestion that there's some kind of rift between McDermott and Bean. Plus, the only move that they've made at the trade deadline, I believe, under Bean, is the trade for Kelvin Benjamin. And, I mean, that made sense at the time. They both had previous experience with him. I assume that they both signed off on it before it was actually, you know, it actually came to be. But, yeah, it was kind of it was an interesting shot. And with McDermott, he is generally pretty reserved. He generally sticks to, you know, the coach speak talking points. But every now and then you can get a topic that he will elaborate on. And I think this was it. And I thought it was interesting. Like I said, the years of irresponsible decision making, basically saying that there was no responsible move this time around, suggested that. Or suggest to me that they did their research, they did their diligence on trying to bring a player in during the trade deadline. They just once again were not willing to part ways with picks, with future picks. And these are things that Brandon Bean has publicly said he sees as capital. Like this is good money right now. These mid round picks, that he's got a ton of them over the next 2 years, and didn't feel like spending those plus anything in the first few rounds on a player that may or may not push Buffalo over the edge. It's a weak AFC right now, with Patrick Mahomes uncertainty and a lack of a second power behind New England. But I think that what they said is, you know, we can make the playoffs with this current roster and keep our picks, and probably, you know, we're going to get the same result with or without a trade once we make those playoffs. So why not keep our assets and keep building toward the future like has been the plan all along?
We did have trades, a week ago. We had the Ramsey trade. We had Philadelphia and Cleveland. You did have Kenyon Drake. So we did have some trades. But when you're talking to your colleagues at ESPN and other reporters around the league, Marcel, how surprised are you, not just from the Bills standpoint, but from teams you would think should be sellers, and namely a team the Buffalo Bills are playing this week, the Washington Redskins, or maybe a team they've already played, Cincinnati, that's 0-8, that teams you would think would want to be selling off assets or something in the future? Was just the market too high for what these teams were asking for?
And look, I think this is something that should be discussed more often. We're laughing at Miami as the current NFL's current face of tanking, but at least they're tanking the right way. They are moving their players out. They are getting assets back. They are getting rid of these foundational pieces, you know, Laremy Tunsil, Kenyon Drake, Minka Fitzpatrick, and they're acquiring just so much draft capital that you have to believe, okay, well, they at least have a plan. You can agree with it, love it or hate it. There's no debate, they've got a plan. Cincinnati, I don't know what on earth you're thinking. I just don't know what they're doing. Why are you keeping Andy Dalton if you don't plan on playing Andy Dalton? If you're giving the keys to Ryan Finley, you're basically saying the season's done. I don't believe at this point in time that Finley has a better chance at winning than Andy Dalton with everyone healthy. Same deal. I'm not really sure why you hang on to AJ Green in this situation either. It's very clear that you're going to need to build through the draft. That was an easy way to get a couple high round picks, and in order to do so. And then Washington is that's classic Washington incompetence there. Trent Williams said he has no plan to play for the team under the current training staff. Training staff hasn't changed, and you didn't trade him. That was an easy first round pick. And this is why bad teams stay bad, because they make the same kind of decisions over and over again. But ultimately, I was a little surprised that Buffalo didn't try to make a move, just because, like I said, it's there's a lot of uncertainty in the AFC right now, and I think you got a chance at making a run, especially with how closely they played New England earlier in the season. I think there's a lot of confidence in the building that they can beat the Patriots. But ultimately, I'm not too shocked. I don't necessarily disagree with their decision to stay pat.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Before we look ahead to Sunday's opponent in Washington, Marcel, I want to kind of get your opinion on a couple of things that we saw from Sunday's loss against the Eagles. We're going to spend some time talking about the defense getting gashed for over 200 yards rushing, but let's start with the offense. And man, when you look like you have a dynamic playmaker in your backfield, like Devin Singletary looks to be, you would think they would showcase him a little bit more. Yes, Marcel?
Yeah, and that was one of my first thoughts, you know, following the game. A lot of his total yards did come from that 28-yard touchdown, but the fact that he's able to break out, he's able to produce a big play in limited touches, you know, generally every time he steps on the field is intriguing. But I went down the Football Reference rabbit hole today, and I found out Singletary, in the four games he's played, he's been on the field for about 52% of the Bills' offensive snaps, with a 22% usage rate. And for those following along at home, that means he gets the ball 22% of the time that he's on the field, for a total of 29 touches. And no other running back with fewer than 30 touches in the NFL really even comes close to the 230 scrimmage yards Devin's put up in four games. So I think J.D. McKissic has about 180. That's the next closest. But moving forward, let's get even deeper. So like I said, stay with me here. Royce Freeman right now. He's a second running back in Denver, which is a team that runs the ball the exact same number of times per game as the Buffalo Bills. Royce Freeman is like the 1B in that little running back tandem, and he earns a 39% usage rate. If Singletary were to receive a similar usage rate as Royce Freeman, with his current yards per touch average, it would equate to about 404 yards per scrimmage, which is 101 yards from scrimmage per game played. And that's on par with guys like Aaron Jones and Chris Carson,
right,
which are generally seen as no doubt RB1 top tier kind of guys. Maybe not tip of the pyramid, but damn close. So what the numbers are saying here, and I know not everybody loves the analytics and the numbers movement, but what the numbers are saying here is you give him just a slightly larger workload, and based on what he's shown on the field, he should put up numbers on par with some of the better backs in the league. And that's the head-scratching thing, because that's what we're seeing on Sunday. And I'll die on the hill, and I'm a pretty firm believer that the guys who are seeing players behind the scenes every day are going to know better than those of us who see limited practices or only see them on Sunday. So there's got to be something going on. Maybe he's not picking something up in meeting rooms. Maybe he's not evaluating his assignment or executing his assignments. I'm not sure, but production is not the reason. So you've got to think there's got to be something else, right?
How much might it be, Marcel, that he is a rookie and they're preserving him? They're trying to, you hear the phrase rookie wall, could that be it? Because I would think that what you're seeing, that Brian Daboll has to see it too.
Yeah, like you would, running back is one of it's one of the positions where you can come in and make an immediate impact as a rookie. We see it time and time again. You saw Ezekiel Elliott come in to do it. Saquon Barkley came in to do it. You saw Kamara come in and do it. I'm not saying Singletary is any of those guys, but you know it is possible to make a high impact as a rookie just based on instinct. And I think he's got good instinct. He clearly can make plays when he gets his touches. So I don't think Frank Gore has been an efficient chain mover, and that's fine. That's kind of what his role is at this stage of his career. But it's not like he has been so good that you can't give anyone else the ball, like so good that you can't run Singletary or can't split carries with them like that. Like I said, there's got to be, I'm giving this coaching staff the benefit of the doubt. There are a lot of facets of the NFL that the average person or even reporter doesn't see. We're not with them every step of the way. These guys have millions of dollars and their livelihoods on the line. I firmly believe they will do and are doing anything possible to get the best product on the field. It's just, you know, would love to know for sure what it is that's keeping him, you know, at his current usage rate.
Interesting stuff. Marcel Louis Jacques, ESPN.com, ESPN NFL Nation, Buffalo Bills reporter, joining us in the Sports Bar Danger and Battaglia. Marcel, Chris tweeting us a question at ESPN Rochester. What has caused the uptick in fumbles for Allen since he's definitely more careful in other areas? I think that's interesting. You know, Allen, the last couple of weeks, does seem a little bit more conservative, and maybe that's a function of the play calling. But yet, if I'm not mistaken, Marcel, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, more turnovers than touchdowns for Josh Allen so far this year, if you factor in the fumbles and the interceptions. You know, he might be a little bit careful in throwing the ball, but he sure is being a little careless when it comes to running with the ball.
Yeah, and granted, the fumbles that I can remember off the top of my head, the first drive of the year, I believe, against the Jets,
yeah.
Two or three on Sunday, most of which are in the pocket. And that's just, you've got to be able to feel or have a sense of when pressure is coming, when your guys are beat in front of you, and you got to keep two hands on the ball. It kind of feels like he did get a little too comfortable in the pocket in the first quarter. It might have been a little bit of awkwardness while he was running and shifting the ball over. I gotta see a better angle, but from my perspective, it looked like he had that ball tucked in, almost tucked into between his armpit, and it's absolutely not where you want the ball when you're carrying it. But I can live with fumbles. I can live with, if I'm a coach, I can live with fumbles more than interceptions, because fumbles are, that's coachable. You can coach a guy up on how to carry the ball. It's a little harder to coach a guy on when not to test the window or when not to, you know, go with your instinct and throw this ball and give your so-and-so receiver a chance. So I think it's a correctable issue. There are some fundamentals. I'm sure Brian Daboll and Ken Norton are working with him this week.
Marcel Louis-Jacques joining us here in the Sports Bar. We haven't even gotten to the run defense. Marcel, after the Dolphin win, I would have thought that those problems they would have corrected, but of course they did not. What should Bills fans' level of concern be when it comes to this Buffalo Bills run defense right now?
Let's see. You know, wait and see, because this is kind of it was very much an anomaly for the year. Oddly enough, the Bills have allowed, since Sean McDermott took over, they have allowed the second most 200-yard rushing games in the NFL in that span, I think, with five. And but they've been excellent so far this year. What I'm looking for this week, Washington, you know, we can all scoff at their record, but since Bill Callahan took over and basically promised to establish the run or try harder to establish the run, Washington is quietly has the 10th most rushing yards in the NFL over the past 3 weeks, which I believe it's the eighth highest yards per carry average. This team can run the ball. Adrian Peterson is still effective, and they've made it an issue. They made it a point to force that issue. Now that the Eagles have kind of, I don't want to say exposed, because we don't know if it's a one-off thing yet, but they've put the blueprint out on how to beat the Bills, to just wear them down. You'd have to think that Washington in this copycat league is going to try to do something incredibly similar. They don't have the passing game to complement it, however. That is the difference between Philly and Washington. But I think it would go a long way for them to hold this, for Buffalo to hold this offense on Sunday to under 100 yards rushing. I think that regression back to the mean, or progression back to the mean, is going to send a message as you prepare to face, you know, talented running teams like Cleveland in week 10 and like Denver 2 weeks later. And you've got Dallas coming up as well. You got Baltimore coming up as well. James Conner is no slouch in Pittsburgh. But there are some teams that can wear you down if you let them in this final stretch of the season. So Leslie Frazier says they think they've got it corrected. They need to prove it immediately against Washington.
Marcel, quickly, because I know we like to assess blame after a poor performance. A lot of that blame went to Star Latulele, and we also heard Sean McDermott kind of defend Star and say that he's doing exactly what we're asking him to do. Did you see something in Star's game that made you believe that he wasn't pulling his end of the bargain on Sunday?
No, and I think Joe Biscaglia of the Athletic elaborated a little bit on it in his All-22 review. I don't think Star was a problem at all. I think he's a popular scapegoat because of his contract and what the kind of production and expectations that a contract like that brings. But I thought he won his matchups more often than not. I thought he controlled the line of scrimmage well. He controlled the interior defensive line well. He was one of the players at fault on that 65-yard run, but I would not necessarily place the blame squarely on his shoulders. I think it was more Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds, neither of whom made proactive moves on the ball. They were playing more reactive style of football, and they allowed the Eagles blockers to reach that second level and control the rushing lane. I think the second level of the Bills defense was more to blame than star Lotulelei. And like I said before, he's been kind of a popular scapegoat, and for decent reason. You know, I'm not going to say he's been elite since he got here, but he was good on Sunday, and I think maybe lay off of him this time for any Bills fans listening.
Marcel Louis Jacques, ESPN.com. Bills and Redskins coming up on Sunday in the interim as we get ready for that. What things can we look forward to on the website, Marcel?
Yeah, I believe it is publishing in the morning. There are a lot of players in the Bills locker room who have played for Washington, including return specialist Andre Roberts. And actually, Washington is where he kind of adopted that title of a return specialist. He initially signed with them as a free agent in 2014, expected to be the number two receiver. Things didn't work out, and in order to get his hands on the ball however he could, he basically volunteered to start returning kicks. And that's how he got his start, and that's how he carved out his niche in the NFL. And he's been undoubtedly the best returner in the NFL since. So more details coming in the morning. Just finished it out today. Also, there's a little tidbit in there about why he decided to sign for more than 1 year in Buffalo after, I think, four straight one-year contracts. I thought it was interesting. I always love talking to Andre Roberts. And from there, we'll just keep you updated with anything that happens throughout the week. And, I'll get our typical level of coverage on Sunday.
Marcel, appreciate all the work you're doing. Appreciate you giving us some time like you do every week here at this time in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Enjoy the rest of your week, Marcel.
I appreciate y'all having me on. Thanks, everybody, for listening to me ramble.
You're the best, Marcel. Marcel Louis Jacques, Rochester Royals fan.
Sacramento Kings fan.
All right.
But yeah.
Well, sometimes they wear the royal stuff.
That's great stuff from Marcel, as always. Always delivers when he joins us in the Sports Bar. If you came in late or if you missed it altogether, we will get that online for you and on demand shortly. Through the radio.com app, just search out the Sports Bar. All of our guest appearances listed for you right there. Listen anytime, anywhere.
NFL apps coming up here. Stories we're chasing, including, Trent Williams didn't get traded. Some news and notes regarding the Redskins. The Bengals didn't make moves. Latest on Patrick Mahomes, those stories and more.
NFL Appetizers is brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years online at alexsribs.com. Around the league with the league's top stories of the day in bite-sized form, NFL Appetizers next in the Sports Bar.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis, and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus, on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.